What should a woman do when her husband has difficulty accepting the haq from her? For example, you tell your husband you can pray more than one surah after you pray al-Fatiha. You give him the proof from Quran and Sunnah, but not until a brother, accepts, and not until a brother, probably I think what she means is, but not until a brother tells him he accepts it. I tell them the same proof.
She feels that she can't obey him.
She
purposely doesn't obey him.
She feels that she can't obey him, so she disobeys him?
Purposely.
Disobeys him.
Intentionally disobeys him so she could get a divorce.
Why didn't she just ask for a khulaf?
Maybe she doesn't, because she knows the hadith of the woman who, without any valid reason, was getting a khulaf that she won't smell the fragrance.
Then why does she feel she can't obey? This is something we should deal with later, because it's not clear. The next question. When you get rid of your television, do you sell it, give it away, or throw it in the garbage? Or if another Muslim gave it to you, do you give it back or ask them to also do the same? First, I'd like to say that someone asked me, I was in some state in Texas or someplace, or in Pittsburgh or someplace, Pennsylvania, and someone asked me, they kept asking me over and over and over again, and I kept telling them over and over and over again, they asked me, is television haram? And I said, the pictures are haram. They kept asking me, is television haram? I said, no, pictures are haram. He said, is television haram? I said, no, the pictures are haram. I'm not saying the television is haram. I'm only saying the pictures are haram. So someone may think that I'm playing around, playing games. No, as long as you have the television set off, it's not haram. When you turn it on, those images come on, it's haram. All right? If you sell it, and it's not on, you're not selling something haram. If you give it away, and there's nothing on it, it's not haram. Allah knows best. I wouldn't give it to another Muslim, though. Why would you give it to a Muslim when it's going to cause them fitna? I also want to thank Allah for the guidance and inspiration that this class gave to me. Alhamdulillah. May Allah give you Jannah for giving the people the da'wah that the Messenger of Allah sent to us. Ameen. And I thank Allah that people are thankful. I thank Allah that people are thankful for the da'wah that the brothers here at Masjid al-Muslimin and other places in the city or otherwise are bringing to the people. I think we maybe take about two or three more because we have some small children. Sisters have to wear more clothes than us. They're hot. If the brothers put some money together before they leave, we can get an air conditioning working and maybe some other things. Inshallah, and we can alleviate some of these problems, inshallah. What about what leads to the haram is haram? With reference to your, this must be an abbreviation, statement on TV. Yes, if someone wants to say that the TV is haram because it leads to haram, I can see that. I can see them saying that. But, okay, I can see them saying that. But I won't say it myself.
Purposely doesn't obey him.
She feels that she can't obey him, so she disobeys him?
Purposely.
Disobeys him.
Intentionally disobeys him so she could get a divorce.
She could get the brother to divorce her.
Why didn't she just ask for a khulaf?
Maybe she doesn't, because she knows the hadith of the woman who, without any valid reason, was getting a khulaf that she won't smell the fragrance.
Then why does she feel she can't obey? This is something we should deal with later, because it's not clear. The next question. When you get rid of your television, do you sell it, give it away, or throw it in the garbage? Or if another Muslim gave it to you, do you give it back or ask them to also do the same? First, I'd like to say that someone asked me, I was in some state in Texas or someplace, or in Pittsburgh or someplace, Pennsylvania, and someone asked me, they kept asking me over and over and over again, I kept telling them over and over and over again. They asked me, is television haram? And I said, the pictures are haram. They kept asking me, is television haram? I said, no, the pictures are haram. They said, is television haram? I said, no, the pictures are haram. I'm not saying the television is haram. I'm only saying the pictures are haram. So someone may think that I'm playing around, playing games. No. As long as you have the television set off, it's not haram. When you turn it on, those images come on, it's haram. All right? If you sell it and it's not on, you're not selling something haram. If you give it away and there's nothing on it, it's not haram. And Allah knows best. I wouldn't give it to another Muslim, though. Why would you give it to a Muslim when it's going to cause them fitna? I also want to thank Allah for the guidance and inspiration that this class gave to me. Alhamdulillah. May Allah give you Jannah for giving the people the da'wah that the Messenger of Allah sent to us. Ameen. And I thank Allah that people are thankful. I thank Allah that people are thankful for the da'wah that the brothers here at Masjid al-Muslimin and other places in the city or otherwise are bringing to the people. I think we maybe take about two or three more because we have some small children. Sisters have to wear more clothes than us. They're hot. If the brothers put some money together before they leave, we can get an air conditioner working and maybe some other things, inshallah. And we can alleviate some of these problems, inshallah. What about what leads to the haram is haram? With reference to your, this must be an abbreviation, a statement on TV. Yes, if someone wants to say that the TV is haram because it leads to haram, I can see that. I can see them saying that. But, okay, I can see them saying that. But I won't say it myself. I'm not going to say it myself. All I know is that there are so many verses, not hadith, there are so many verses in the Quran and hadith that clearly talks about pictures that I thought maybe that would be one of the issues that would be resolved by now. But I guess it's not. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to make our homes Islamic homes. Is that it? We're finished? No.
Islamic videos.
The brother is asking about Islamic videos. I'd like to say that there's no such thing as an Islamic video. It's not permissible to give a name to something other than what it is. And this is one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that is going to be one of the signs of the hour, that people are going to give names to haram things that are not the names of them. Like, for instance, they call liquor spirits. They call interest usury, or vice versa. They call this sexually enticing, provocative African modern dance art. Stuff is haram. Alright? And we're not here to say haram, 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 bid'ah, 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 bid'ah. We're not here today to do that. That's not what we're here to do. We're not here to do that. But for surety, there's no such thing as an Islamic video. You've heard me say this before. That's like saying halal pork. There's no such thing as an Islamic video. Those people who elect to use the video in extreme emergency situations where there's no one around. The person lives in Scandinavia. He lives on the North Pole. He lives in the Ozark Mountains. He lives out there where whatever those people are in Australia, the Aborigines, in the jungles, and they took Shahada. And there's no one there to teach them how to make the salah. They can use a video, according to the scholars of Islam, to teach them how to make salah, to teach them how to wash a dead body, to teach them how to shroud the body, to teach them how to dig the grave. Other than that, the scholars of Islam don't deem this permissible. Because there's too many people here in our area to teach you how to make salah. You don't need a video. No excuse. To call it Islamic would be, once again, to call it, give it a nomenclature that is not permissible. And Allah knows best. Now,
with trust being one of the faculties of having a good Islamic household, what would be some good advice for someone who has gift, who has a real bad jealousy, and sometimes it becomes outrageous?
The brother is asking, since trust is an important factor in the stability of an Islamic household, trusting of the spouses, what advice will we give for a man who has extreme ghira? He said, ghira is it's halal jealousy. It's natural jealousy. I was just about to slip and say that I'm like this. I don't know if I should say this. I'll just say this. There was a companion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was so jealous, the halal natural jealousy, that he couldn't stand to see a man with his ex-wife. That's the way I'll put it. This is something that, you know, is natural in some men. It's natural. I know a brother right now, close to me, very close to me, almost as close as myself, that if he sees girls he used to date in Jahiliyyah, may Allah forgive us, he still can't stand to see a guy with her. From Jahiliyyah. That's how much ghira he has. When this man who had this type of ghira in the time of the Prophet ﷺ said, when a man said, "Oh, Rasulullah, I just saw a man with my wife. What should I do?" He was going to cut his neck. The Prophet told him to put his sword away. He must have four witnesses. This other companion, anybody remember his name? Anybody remember his name? Okay. He said, "Wallahi, ya Rasulullah, if I caught him with my wife, I'll chop off his head." Right? This companion was so severe in his jealousy, even when he divorced him, he couldn't stand seeing anybody with his ex-wife. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you see the jealousy of him?" He said, "My jealousy is more severe than his, and Allah's jealousy is more severe than that." Right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Prophet made dua for his wife, for her jealousy, for the other wives, to take the jealousy out of her heart. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take that type of jealousy out of the brother's heart, so he doesn't become to the extreme where he becomes dangerous. He becomes dangerous. But I must add that this type of jealousy is a good jealousy. And every man should have this type of jealousy, but not to the extreme. This type of jealousy, what we mean is that he doesn't like to see a man in his wife's face. If you have gotten to the point where you are comfortable with a man in your wife's face, then something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. If you're comfortable with a man talking to your wife on the telephone, and you right there, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you, really. Where's your ghira? Where is it? Where's your jealousy? This ghira is a protection. Protection for you in this life and in the next. And Allah knows best. Is that it? No.
What if I know a woman in hadith that the angels curse the wife, the man, the lesser go to sleep? He wants to sleep with her, and she doesn't, and then he wants to sleep anymore. What if the wife is sick? And the husband still wanted to cross with her, and she said no, but he didn't, in his heart, he really wanted to, but he didn't.
The brother's asking the question,
pertaining to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the angels curse the woman, curses the women who, when their husbands call them and they don't come to the bed, and the woman is sick, and the man says, okay, I'll let you slide with that. That's what you mean, right? Do the angels still curse her? If the man still wanted to do it, if the woman is sick, she has an excuse. That hadith is not talking about women who have excuses. Right? If your wife is in Mecca, and you will call her to the bed, and you in Bethesda, come on, Adi. What you want her to do? There's an excuse. Nah, hold on, whatever. Some sisters have, yes. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. No, in this particular hadith, it's not her actually being on the birthing chair. This hadith is just showing the importance of her answering. Of her answering. And the man should be considerate. If a woman has a migraine headache, the woman is sick, I mean really genuinely sick, the man should be considerate. That's all, he should be considerate. But in normal circumstances, then this hadith should be applied. In normal circumstances, it should be applied. The other narration gives the fuller explanation of that one. The other one says, even if she's baking bread, right? Even if she's baking bread, then she should come. And there's a reason for this. The wisdom of the Messenger of Allah is wise, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a reason. Because every situation is different. Dependent upon your husband, he may be weaker than others. If you don't come to him, you may cause fitna. You may cause corruption. He may go out and do something wrong. So you have to really look at every situation in its context. But in general, the hadith still stands. And Allah knows that. Now, another sister, I think she had a hand up. There was another sister who had her hand up. No, this is talking about Muslims. This is not talking about the kuffar. This ayah is talking about Muslims, and this hadith is not talking about the kuffar. It's talking about Muslims. She's talking in reference to the verse, "Idfa' billati hiya ahsan, la'idha alladhi baynahu wa baynaka adawa, ka'annahu halim waliyun hamim." Repel the evil with good. For that, the one who you may have enmity between the two of you, he'll become like an intimate friend. The wording itself is a proof that it's not talking about the kuffar, because the kuffar cannot be your wali. The kuffar cannot be awliya. Because Allah says in the Quran, لا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض. All you who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians for walis, because they're walis for each other. And that ayah says, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ, as though you're a close wali. So this is a proof that it's not talking about a non-Muslim. This is only talking about Muslims. Because all kuffar are on one level or another are enemies. Whether they make war against us or not, they're still our enemies. Whether they're your mother or your father, and I love my mother and father, they're still your enemy on one level or another. It's just that some of them don't make war, and some make war, but they're still your enemy in the deen sense, in the deeny sense, because their non-acceptance of Islam means they're making war against Allah and His Messenger. I can't hear you. Yeah, that has nothing to do with a wali. A wali is different from a mahram. Your mahram is different from a wali. The imam can be your wali, but he can't be a mahram unless he's a relative that you can't marry. Don't confuse wali with mahram. Your kafir brother can be your mahram, because that's what he is. Your mahram. You can't marry him. But your kafir brother can't be your wali. Your kafir brother and your kafir father cannot be your wali, but they are your mahram. It's a big difference. And this is not the subject right now, inshallah, so let's get off this topic, inshallah. No.
What was that companion
that was killed? I thought it was Abdullah ibn Zubair. I'm not sure. Is that it? We can go now? Is that it? Brothers and sisters in Islam, inshallah, the Aqidah class is, it begins on Saturday at 4:30. And the book that we're going to be using, inshallah, has been translated into English. We're going to try to get some copies. The name of the book is The Principles of Iman, Usul Iman, and it's by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Hafidhullah. Inshallah, we're going to be dealing with, in detail, the subject of Allah, the angels, the books, the messengers, the divine decree, and the last day, inshallah, in detail. We want to require notebooks and pencils, because out of all of these classes that I myself are conducting, only two of them will have tests on. Only two. That's the Aqidah class and the Arabic class. The class on how to develop Islamic household, there's no test. The class on Riyadus Salihin, there's no test. But the Aqidah class and the Arabic classes, they're tests. Inshallah. Subhanakum wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.